So Luke chapter 18 for a classic Christmas passage. And I say that most tongue in cheek. You're like, wait a minute. Luke does talk about Christmas. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 2. All have themes that people often think about at Christmas time. Thank you.
Yep. Yes. Was that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And it would help if I got to Luke and not John. Okay. Sorry about that. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And we're going to start at verse 1. Just to put you in the Yuletide spirit. Luke 18 and verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Now, in 2 Corinthians 9, the Lord tells us famously, Paul is the spokesman, but we know by inspiration, that he tells us the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And you could look at this unjust judge as an uncheerful giver, okay? He's asked to dispense justice, and that's actually his job description. He's a judge. He's supposed to take care of people who are oppressed, people who are suffering, people who have been used and abused. And he doesn't want to do that. And the only reason he does it is the lady, to put it in the vernacular, bugs him incessantly and comes pleading over and over, "Please take up my case. Please, my cause is just. Please, I want justice." And that's the only reason he says, "I don't fear God or man." This isn't altruism. This isn't a great love of justice and truth. This is just to get rid of this woman. And you can kind of understand that parable the Lord is telling, because it really describes a lot of people at Christmas time. Not you. Okay, you come to the Scotch auction quite happily. You cheerfully give. You cheerfully steal, apparently. I'm sure it's the same in your home life. You give gifts this year. You love to give to friends and family and even coworkers and neighbors and things like that. It's a great season for that. It's a great time to remind people that the greatest gift that's ever been given was given by God, of course, giving his son. Probably the most famous verse we would all know, John 3:16, that it says that God so loved the world that he gave. So we think about that gift. Romans 8, in fact, says that he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Horatius Bonar, in a classic hymn, summed it up this way. He said, "Blessed be God our God," is the name of the hymn. And he has a line in there, "The gift of gifts, all other gifts in one. Blessed be God our God." So when we think back to Christmas and we think about the Lord Jesus, we say, wow, this really is the best gift that's ever been given. This person, the Lord Jesus Christ, because his coming to the earth is really what assures us that something is going to be done about oppression. Something is going to be done about sin. Something is going to be done about all the hurt, all the disappointment, all the pain. And there are families that this is the worst time of year because they think about somebody that in their family that killed themselves. They think about someone that was killed in an accident. They think about someone who was murdered. They think about somebody who's not there. And all of us have had to deal with that, I'm sure, at some level or another. And we say, when is that all going to end? Well, that's why the Lord Jesus came. 1 John 3:8 says he came to destroy the works of the devil. So the unjust judge is kind of the opposite of the Lord Jesus, of course. The Lord Jesus says, encouraging people to pray to him here, that if you ask him, isn't he going to give his chosen people justice? Isn't he going to hear their plea? Isn't he going to hear their cry? And the obvious answer is yes. But lest we doubt the Lord, we go to the end of the chapter at verse 35. The last story in this chapter is an interesting contrast. Luke 18 and 35. Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, people in the world like to think that this is a time of joy and good cheer and peace and all this sort of thing and taking care of the underprivileged. And I'm not going to say that unbelievers don't do that. To a certain extent, they do. It's part of common grace, the theologians would call it. In other words, we are hardwired for morality. So as human beings, even lost human beings understand, there's a certain need to take care of the underprivileged, of the weak, of the vulnerable, and so forth. But honestly, the people that have really excelled at that through history are the believers. And it's because of the Lord Jesus, of course. Because the Lord Jesus, when a blind man who could not give, there was no reciprocity for him, he could not give the Lord Jesus anything in return. He was absolutely impoverished. He wasn't able to do anything in their culture, their time, their place. All he could do is ask the Lord Jesus to do for him. Lord, have mercy on me. Have compassion on my situation. And everybody says, psh, don't bother the great man, Jesus of Nazareth, you know. He's too busy. He's dealing with big people. He's dealing with greater people than you. Don't bother him. Don't interrupt what he's doing. And the Lord stops the whole proceeding. And he calls the man to him. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? In verse 41. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now consider that contrast with the opening of the chapter. The woman comes to the unjust judge. Hey, I'm being oppressed. Hey, someone's taking advantage of me. I'm a widow. I'm vulnerable. Go back through the Old Testament. All the times in the law, all the times in the Psalms, all the times in the Proverbs, God says, don't move the landmark of the widow. Don't oppress the widow. Don't steal from the widow. Don't take from the orphan or the stranger. Those three kind of get lumped together. The whole book of Ruth, for crying out loud, is about God taking care of widows, isn't it? And the big picture of salvation exemplified by that. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and our Father is this, to take care of the widow and to visit the orphans in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So God really cares about widows. The unjust judge, not so much. Go away. You bother me. Stop. Quit leaving messages on my answering machine. Stop with the emails already. Quit texting. Who taught someone at your age how to text anyway? Leave me alone. And when it's apparent she won't go away, finally he gives in. Not the Lord Jesus. The first time a weak, far-off man who is pushed away and people say, not for you. Jesus is too busy for you. He doesn't have time for you. And the first time he calls out to the Lord stops everything and says, bring him to me. What is it you want? I want my sight. And he says, you can have it. Your faith has made you well. You came to the right place. You came to the all-merciful God. And no wonder then at Christmas we think about the light of the world coming into the world. We think about the star guiding wise men. We think about all this insight into who God is. It goes back to the one who opens blind eyes. That's who our Lord Jesus is. And he's so willing to do it. He is chiefly the cheerful giver. And that's why he calls us to be cheerful givers as well.